Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. We are on site at Co-op Agro here. The Co-op Farm Building is where you can locate us, and we're appreciative of them hosting us here for the duration of the show today and the show tomorrow. Well, as you walk around and you look at the technology that's on site here, there's lots of different things that has people talking. I don't know if there is an area in agriculture, certainly at this show, that I'm hearing more people talk about than drones. One of the headliners of the show, where some of the biggest crowds are gathering, has to be watching the agricultural drones take to the sky. These machines have become a popular part of the show for years, but I would say this summer, I think they're a much more impressive demonstration because Health Canada has made some changes. They've changed the rules that allow farmers and custom applicators to use drones for pesticide already approved for conventional aerial application. So the timing is good. We've had a wet spring this year, and I've got a couple of stories even just from talking with friends of mine that are farmers and how they have gone to drone application because of the amount of moisture that we've had. We've had this gentleman on our show before. I'm very happy to welcome Marcus Weber back to our program. He's the owner of Landview Drones. He's also the president of the Canadian Agricultural Drone Association. So, I mean, this is the guy. If you've got a question about agricultural drones, Marcus is the fella, and I'm happy to say he's sitting with me at the booth. Marcus Weber, thanks for being here.
Nice to see you again.
Good to have you back on the show. So, I mean, you've been doing some drone demonstrations at the show. What is the reaction you get from people, especially those that are maybe seeing it for the first time?
Well, it depends on the type of drone. The small ones, things have changed there as well, but the big oohs and ahs come out for the big drones,
yeah.
Right? The bigger the drone, the better, because people really are interested in spraying this year because of the two big changes, the regulatory change, and we had a really wet spring this year.
Right.
And that combination means people are really interested in spraying.
So let's talk about the regulatory change. You and I had chatted about this last time you were on the show. How big is this for the industry now, basically Health Canada opening up, allowing farmers to use drones for pesticides?
Well, I mean, it was an unexpected change, even, to be honest.
Right.
When we last talked, we were hoping for this change to happen sometime in the next few years. And when that proposal came in February, we were surprised that it was such a fast change in policy.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's very defensible, it's very safe, and we welcome it warmly. But it means we're all scrambling now to catch up, to get everybody certified, to get everybody to learn what they need to learn to use these tools effectively. But yeah, it was a complete change from what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
In January of this year, there was eight pest control products approved for drone application, and not one of those was for agriculture. They were in for industrial use, and now every aerial label can be applied by drone.
I was telling you off air, I was driving by a neighbor of mine where our farm is, just situated east of Regina, and he was applying some pesticides by drone, using a drone, and I think he had a custom applicator there, but he was there watching it, and he was just talking about the fact that, you know, he's all in. He loved the coverage that he gets. He said, you don't lose any of the chemical that you're putting on. But he also talked about another friend of ours, a neighbor, who was continually getting stuck because it was so wet. So he had a ground sprayer that he was out there, and every time he would get to a low spot, he's calling someone to come with a tractor, which does more damage to the crop, but trying to get his sprayer out. Those must be things that you're hearing continually from customers.
Absolutely. Herbicide is not the easiest to apply by drone. I assume he had an experienced custom applicator with him already, because
mm-hmm.
that takes some experience to get that right. So it's good to get that great feedback. The drones, not only do they fly rather than drive, but they also give you downdraft. So you can reach parts of the crop that you can't reach any other way, which during fungicide season, which we're almost done with now,
mm-hmm.
Offers even greater benefits than it did earlier in the season.
So what do you mean by downdraft?
So the droplets are being deposited by turbulent air. It's the propeller's downwash that accelerates the droplets downward,
sure.
So that wind doesn't interact as much with
it
does
to
some degree, but it also directs it outward, and that's how we get these wide passes.
Mm.
These relatively small aircraft, I mean, they're bigger than any drone anyone's ever seen, but they're small compared to a manned aircraft. They're still getting 30 and 40 foot swaths. And
wow.
That downdraft, if you fly slow, can be used to penetrate through the canopy and get the droplets down deeper into the canopy than you can with any other type of aircraft.
Right.
Because the manned aircraft are flying too fast to get that kind of downdraft.
How low are they flying? Like, how low are they flying to... We're getting a guest coming by to say hi. How close are they flying to the crops, Marcus?
It depends on the model, of course, but 10 to 14 feet is kind of the range.
Oh, so they're close. Yeah.
They're close, but you need some elevation for the mixing of the air with the droplets to get you a nice, even coverage.
Sure. Chatting today with Marcus Weber, who is the owner of Landview Drones. What are the common questions you get from people when they come? What are the things that are on people's minds that they have questions they want to dispel maybe some rumors? Or
it's a little different here at the show than it is out in the field. Out in the field, if we're flying a small drone, there is still this perception that drones are somehow an evil spying machine or something like that. That does not happen at this show. It's farmers that are at the event.
Sure.
And farmers have questions like, how many acres can I cover per hour? What water rates should I be using? Is this appropriate for herbicide or more for fungicide? It's very focused on the crop and how quickly you can get it done. Because there is concern that they're not efficient enough for real-world use. Because, I mean, let's face it, Saskatchewan is about as real-world as it gets. With the size of fields that we have, it's a small tool compared to your high-clearance sprayer.
Sure.
So a lot of the questions really are about efficiency of the refill and those aspects.
Well, let's answer a couple of those questions. How many acres can you do on, I imagine it depends on what you're spraying and variable rate application and all the rest of it, but on average, how much land can you do?
So there's a new model of drone pretty close to every year. Yeah. Last year we were doing in the range of 30 to 35 acres per hour with the Agris T50. With the Agris T100, now we're seeing in the 50 to 60 acre per hour range as average. In a really good hour, you might even get 70, 75 acres done in an hour.
Yeah.
And it all depends on product as well. So as we get into desiccating, and a lot of that will be applied at 3 gallon per acre, you'll be able to get 60 acres done in an hour.
Yeah.
And if you're running two of those drones, well, it's just an hour and a quarter, and you've got a quarter section done. So this is really feasible now for real ag work.
Right.
The added benefit now at this point in the season, too, is that you're not trampling that crop.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of desiccating, especially for crops like canola or lentils or peas, that trampling is not just the trampling right under the tire itself, but the plants next to it shake out and you're losing yield there. Yeah. And that's in the range of 2 to 3% at least.
Mm-hmm.
And by using the drone, you're gaining that land area back and you're not having to deal with the residue that you just trampled for the coming season as well.
In terms of, so it's fascinating how quick you can cover a number of acres. How often, again, I'm assuming it's the size of the drone makes a difference, but how often are they having to refill?
Size of the drone does matter and speed does, but most product is going at 3 gallon an acre. They're spraying for about 4 minutes, filling for a minute, spraying for 4 minutes, filling for a minute.
Yeah.
So the biggest impact you can have on your field efficiency is keeping that down to under a minute for the refill. And most people in their first season, that's one of the things that they have to figure out for their system, is design the system so that refill happens in under a minute without foaming. So they're going to have to look after size of the lines, make sure that they're using an inch or inch and a half lines to fill that tank quickly enough. You need charging systems that are not going to bog you down. These are all lithium batteries as well,
right.
So you need to keep them cool enough. You need cooling systems for the batteries as well. So there's a lot of other components that go with the drone, and that really often is customized for the farm or that custom applicator. There are starting to be some systems, and if you come to the drone demo area at Ag in Motion, you'll get to see all these systems. So there are some you could buy off the shelf, but we're finding 95% of our customers are farmers spraying their own fields.
Right.
And they're designing their own system because they happen to have a trailer and a tank, and it's very possible.
Because that's what you need, essentially, right? The setup, you need a tank, that's where you'll come back to refill. Do you sell those platforms as well, Marcus, or is that like, is there packages like that available?
There are definitely packages like that available, but most choose not to do that because they've already got most of the components, including the mixing system. The one thing that most need to buy is a generator. Even those farms that have a generator, typically they aren't big enough for drones.
Okay.
You need, even for the smaller models, you need a 12.5 kilowatt For today's generation, the T100s, you need 15 kilowatt minimum. And if you're flying two of those now, you're into 35 kilowatt generator. So you need a big diesel generator. Luckily, we have the oil and gas industry that runs them for 20,000 hours and then sells them for a fraction of the cost. And that's where most farmers are buying them. These are very affordable spraying systems, and they keep it affordable by also putting all those components together themselves.
Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you is affordability. When you compare it to other ways and other forms of spraying, is it competitive?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why people are doing it on their own, because they can do it more cost-effectively and in a more timely way than if they were to hire it out to a custom applicator, either by air or by ground, because they can do it themselves on their own time. The one thing that does limit your timing with the drones is wind. Because we are flying 10 to 14 feet off the canopy, wind has an opportunity to interact with that. So you really can't be spraying in winds of more than 12 to 14 kilometers an hour at most.
Right.
And that means a lot of the spraying is done at night. So you shouldn't be amazed if you're driving around Saskatchewan this fall. Mm-hmm. You will see lights out in the field, but they're only 10 or 14 feet above the crop. They are not evil spying machines. They are farmers.
Despite what you might see on Facebook. Yeah. Marcus Weber is my guest. He's president of the Canadian Agricultural Drone Association. He's the owner of Landview Drones. Where are you guys situated here at Ag in Motion?
The drone demo area on the east side, you really can't miss it. It's towards the parking lot at the southeast corner.
Sure.
And all the drone companies are all in one area. So if you're all interested in drones, you can see them all in one place. Mm-hmm. Drone demos every day at 9:30 and at 1:30.
Yeah, sounds good. There was a question that came in on the text line earlier, knowing that I was going to be talking to you, asking about the size of these drones. Like there's different sizes that you sell depending on the application, but how big are they?
Well, they lift. The Agris T50 has a 40-liter tank. And so that's about 40 kilograms. If you're doing a granular product, you can put a little bit more in because it doesn't slosh. So you can do 50 kilograms. With the Agris T100, we can now lift 80 to 100 kilograms depending on the payload. Wow. The 80 kilogram is a 10-meter long line. So this is where farmers use some creativity.
Right.
What can you move around on your farm with an 80-kilogram crane? So there's some pretty neat things you can do with that. And at the demos, we do a little bit of lifting, too, and have a little bit of fun.
Interesting. I just was actually chatting with an agronomist who had stopped by talking about how this year, with so much moisture, fungicides has been a big topic. So I'm assuming that that's something that you're hearing from farmers as well.
Yeah. You know what's really changed this year is the adoption of variable rate application, both by ground sprayer and by drone. It's not the drones that are doing the applying largely, but because of the wet fields, we've seen scenarios, even on our own farm, where we're doing variable rate plant growth regulator because some of the barley is so stunted and stressed that you don't want to be applying PGR to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the good parts of the crop need the protection at the same time. So you do a variable rate application and just spray the good parts of the field, not the bad. In that particular scenario, what we did is we went back a week later and applied herbicide to those bad parts of the field.
Right.
So we're starting to see people really adopting precision farming because of the mapping drone enabling that.
This has been a great conversation, Marcus. I appreciate you and I have chatted a few times, and every time I can tell this is like second nature to you. You've been doing this drone stuff for a long time, so anyone who's interested to learn more about what you do at Landview Drones, landview.com, correct, is your website?
Right. Yep.
I appreciate you coming in and joining us again on the show. You've been a good returning guest, and anyone that's looking to chat drones, Marcus is your guy, the owner of Landview Drones, and again, he is down here at Ag in Motion. Thanks so much for being
here. Thank you very much, Aaron.